This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, episode 21. We want to talk about some investment bloopers. All right, what's up, everybody? I was driving around the other day, and I had this thought of a seminar I sat in about 10 years ago, and I recalled one of the attendees raising their hand and asking the guru on stage if he could share a time that he lost his tail with an investment. And this perked my interest. And he replied by saying, I can't remember a time I had lost money investing in real estate. And with my program and my strategies, you will not lose money investing in real estate either. Now, I was there to learn, but I knew this was the biggest load of crap I'd ever heard in my life. So what I did today was I decided to reach out to some of my friends here who have been full-time real estate investors for years, because I know there's been times where they've been distressed with different types of deals, they have lost money, or, you know, they've had a property trashed by a tenant, whatever the case may be, things are going to happen. So I'm turning to my buddies, the pros, and we're going to get a little bit of feedback, some stories from them on experiences they've had investing in real estate, how they may have lost money, and how they overcame this obstacle and kept moving forward. So here we go. Let's dive right into this. What's up, Emmerich?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Real good. How about yourself?
Not too bad.
Good, good. The reason I'm calling you is because I had a, you know, I recalled a time I was in a seminar about 10 years ago, and someone raised their hand and asked the guru up on stage if you could share a horror story you encountered with us. And he replied by saying, you know, with my program, I've never had a problem investing in real estate. And that blew my mind that he actually told someone like that. So I'm calling all my veteran real estate investor buddies here and reaching out for a crazy story you experienced and then how you overcame it. You got anything in mind?
Well, let's see. The worst deal I did was probably one I did, bought a suburban house in a nice area of Cleveland. Over in Moreland Hills. You might remember that.
I do remember this.
Thinking 2 acres of land with a pond in the front yard was the greatest thing in the world.
Sounds like it. Looked like it.
And the house was gorgeous, but anyone who had a family thought a pond in the front yard is nothing but a disaster.
Right. So walk us through this. And you find this house. What did you pay for it?
It was a while ago. I think we paid like $120 for it, $125.
Okay.
This was an area of houses that are easily going for $250, $300 or more. Holland Hills is a pretty affluent area. The land alone was worth the price we paid. And it was a nice little three-bedroom ranch, one-and-a-half bath on the lot. And there was a pond in the front yard. And so we rehabbed the whole house. Put a bunch of money into it, tried to sell it for $250, and nobody wanted it. Everybody loved the house, thought it was a great piece of land, but they didn't want to have their kids around the pond.
So waterfront property was the problem on this deal, not necessarily the house.
Exactly. Lesson learned, don't buy a house with a pond in it.
Nice, nice. So, I mean, was this going against your gut at all when you bought this, or it just felt great the whole way through?
No, it felt great the whole way through. I thought it was going to be a great flip, and it's just the feedback we were getting from the buyers coming through the house. They loved the house. They loved the land. They loved the way it sat on the land. They loved the area.
So everything was good but the water. The water killed the deal.
Pretty much.
Now, did you actually lose money on the deal then?
Yeah, the partner I was with on that, we lost some money on the deal because we eventually just had to cut our losses and get rid of the property because the holding costs were so much on it.
Okay. So you used private money or it was your personal money that was just tied up too long?
I actually got conventional financing on it. And
oh, this was a while ago then. Conventional financing. Yeah. What is that?
This was pre-08.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, we put down a down payment and got the property and rehabbed it. And it was taking too long and the mortgage payments were high and on top of the rehab payments. So, you know, it was just better to cut the losses and move on.
Right on. So, you know, even though this was painful, you lost some money on it. Did it deter you from doing any investing right after you lost money on this deal?
Absolutely not.
Awesome.
Just encouraged me to do more to make up.
There we go. That's the answer I was looking for. Excellent.
And that's what I did. Just went in and bought more, stuck to what I was, to my model of turnkey investment properties. That's where I kept doing that.
And you haven't shifted from that. You still stick to the turnkey model.
That's right.
Awesome.
That's my bread and butter there.
Very cool. Well, there it is. You know, even though you lost some money on a deal, you don't get discouraged. You keep moving forward with what you know. You keep making more money and keep taking action.
That's right.
Emery.
Got to move forward.
Thank you so much for your time on this. Where can we connect with you at?
You can check me on my Twitter. It's landlord331 or my website, extremecashflowproperties.com.
Very cool, man. I appreciate it. I'm going to link to everything in the show notes. As always, I appreciate your time, and we'll be in touch real soon.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Em. Talk to you later. Hey, John, I'm in the studio right now. I'm calling up all my full-time investor buddies, and I'm looking for stories of, you know, investments you may have made where things didn't go exactly as planned and what you did to bring them right. You have any stories you could share?
The one that comes to mind is a rental property I had in the city of Cleveland. Started off well. Got tenants in there. Probably 4 or 5 months into it, tenants started getting late on rent. Tenant actually asked to borrow a ladder of mine, and the ladder was never returned.
Was the ladder made of aluminum?
The ladder did happen to be made of the precious metal aluminum.
Okay, that's our first mistake.
So whenever lending out ladders, make sure they're fiberglass. You'll get them back.
Tip number one. This is good.
Tip number one. So one thing started lead to another. Start realizing my tenants are getting into the heroin scene. And were stealing anything they could to get their next hit. Needless to say, when that happens, the rent doesn't come on time, if at all. And ended up having to file an eviction for the tenant.
Let me ask you this real quick. How long were they falling behind on you before you went out and filed an eviction?
Probably at least 2 months.
Okay, so you were being a nice guy. You let it ride for a little bit. They decide, all right, I'm not getting paid. You got to go.
Yeah, I mean, you get the excuses. We'll give you some. We got it. We'll give it to you next week. And, you know, in this business, I think there's a couple schools of thought, and I tend to be on the nice guy side.
I have that same problem, too. So, yeah, I fall for the story still. I'm like, nah, just call my property manager.
Yeah, thinking you can get more, what do they say?
Catch more flies with honey, or are you going with that one?
Exactly.
Okay, there we go.
More flies with honey.
Not in this business.
You know, that's not the case. So it was at least 2 months.
Okay.
That I had let them slide before I filed the eviction, and put the eviction notice on the door. Kept checking with them to see if they had gotten out of the property. No, we're getting out. We're going to leave. Okay. Eviction comes, eviction, I think it was like the day before, maybe the day of, and I run into the guy, Bill, who was driving down the street, and he's like, oh, we're going to get our stuff out. Can you, a little bit fuzzy on it, but needless to say, he'd already given me the keys, and he asked if they could get a few things out. And me being, once again, of the school of thought, being a nice guy, okay, I won't have to call the movers out. I won't have to spend more money. I'll let him go in and get his stuff.
So you gave the keys back to him?
Yeah, I let him in the place.
Great.
I let him in, and I didn't stay and watch him.
Oh, this is even better.
So I let him go back in the place, gave him an hour or so. In that meantime, I get a call from my downstairs tenant who is telling me that water is pouring in through her ceiling and ceiling light. And I don't know if you can hear my dog.
Oh, I can. That's all right.
So I get a call. Fortunately, the tenant downstairs was home and was able to call me right away, but water was raining down through the kitchen ceiling, through their ceiling light, and the tenant had proceeded to cut the copper out of my bathroom while I was letting him get his stuff out of the house.
Wow. Wow. So you went ahead and you tried to help him out one more time, and he was a nice guy in return and stole all your piping. And not only that, he didn't turn the water off when he stole it from you.
No.
Wow.
That's because the basement happened to be locked.
Okay, so he couldn't get all the goodness.
he couldn't get all the goodness, so he got what was exposed in the bathroom.
Wow.
And left me with the unfortunate task of replacing the plumbing in the bathroom.
Nice. And then how much damage was done downstairs? Was it extensive or no?
We had to take out some drywall in the ceiling, replace the ceiling light, but it could have been worse if the tenant was not home.
Gotcha.
It would have ruined the floors. It would have completely ruined the ceiling. There would have been extensive damage if the tenant was not home downstairs.
So are you as nice of a guy now after going through this experience?
I am not as nice of a guy now. My words of wisdom would be, if they are late, throw the 3-day notice on the door and don't be afraid to spend money to evict someone. In the long run, it will be the best money you can spend.
Gotcha.
There's no reason to sit there and stick it out with someone who is going to only cause you grief.
So you can't have your heart in this business. It is a business. And, you know, when someone's not paying, you have to take action and move forward.
That would be the wise thing to do.
So no, that's great.
Do not be afraid to spend money on the eviction. Do not be afraid to spend money if you have to hire an attorney Just do it and get it done, and you'll be much happier that you did it.
Get your property performing again.
Exactly.
Now, one final question before I let you go here. After being through that crazy experience there, did it scare you from buying more properties at that point?
No, it did not. you just keep on doing it. Spend the money. Spend it on, don't put good money after bad money. Get the people out. Buy more properties. Get them turning a profit. And don't let the tenants scare you.
That's awesome advice. I appreciate it, John. Thanks so much for your time.
Not a problem, Mike.
All right, we'll be in touch soon.
I will talk to you.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Roosevelt, the reason I'm calling you is because about 10 years ago, I attended a real estate seminar, and someone raised their hand, and they said, please share with me your real estate horror story. And the guy up on stage was saying, well, with my program, I've never had a bad case of real estate investing, which was absolute BS to me. So I figured I'd call out all my buddies who are veterans of this game and get a little feedback on, you know, maybe a nightmare story you had investing, and then share with us how you got out of that.
Yes, sir. Well, if you do real estate long enough, you're going to wind up running into some difficult situations. Me personally, probably the worst deal that I've done was one of the deals that I did when I first got started. I had a contractor, and he was working on a couple of houses. I went to go look at a third house, and this house was dilapidated. Seriously. But he was like, oh, man, don't worry about it. I can do this. And it ain't going to cost you much. So I bought the house based on the contractor's recommendation, which shortly thereafter, I had to fire the guy. I realized that he didn't know what he was doing on the other house that I had him working on. And then I was stuck with this property. I had to put, like, you know, lumber is very expensive. I had to put new lumber in the property. It was just a disaster, man. I wound up going tens of thousands of dollars over budget on the property. The market collapsed. I still couldn't move it. And so I wound up losing my shirt on that property.
So based on the advice that was given to you by the contractor, it was a bad investment from that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't let contractors determine, you know, whether you buy a house or not. You know, let them just look at it and give you a number as to what it will cost for you to buy it. But ultimately, you're the one that's responsible, you know. And so I bought it based on, you know, him telling me, hey, man, this is nothing. I can fix it real easy. The numbers ain't going to be much, you know. That's why I bought it. So that was a rookie mistake. I got to stay in the driver's seat. I'm ultimately the one who makes the decision whether I buy or not. And in that situation, I kind of let somebody else make a decision for me, and I'm probably regretting it in the end.
No, excellent. I appreciate you sharing that with us. And that's, you know, to take away from that, that's it. You know, always go with your gut. And, yeah, you know, get second party advice. It sounds like you, in your gut, you knew right away that this wasn't a good deal, but, you know, someone kind of swayed you into it in the beginning. So you move forward and, you know, you learn based on that.
Yeah, man, it started going bad from the jump, man. It was water coming on in the property. Roof was all messed up. First that went over there, it was in the spring, and I seen something hanging off the side of the house. It looked like a whole bunch of gnats or something. Like, what is this? They had wings and everything. And I called my guy who was the exterminator come out. He's like, oh, they're spawning. Those are termites.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Termite spawning. It was like almost a beehive on the side of the house, probably, I don't know, 3 feet wide and maybe 5 feet long of just these little insects. And I was like, what is that? Like, okay. Oh, we got termites. Great. You know, and that was just the start of a downhill spiral from there.
Gotcha. So if you find a house and termites are spawning on it, we probably want to walk away.
Well, at least consider that in your number. You know?
Right. Right. Good call.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was actually my third house.
Okay.
I bought. I got a little overconfident after my first two. And then on that third one, I took a nosedive.
And that happens. And, you know, here it is. How many years ago was that roughly?
That was in 2003. So what, 12 years ago?
Okay. And as painful as that may have been at that time, you still stayed focused. 12 years later, you're still flipping properties full time for a living. And, you know, you keep moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was just a temporary setback. You know, we learned the lessons that we need to learn from it. And then we just took that and moved forward from that point. So I tell you that I've lost tens of thousands of dollars because of contractors. I mean, literally, that's not just hypothetical. You know, I'm into the major figures of having lost money dealing with bad, you know, contractors.
So before we let you go, can you share with us just a little bit of advice as far as managing contractors so the newbies don't make a mistake like that?
Yes. Well, one of the things you have to do with contractors, and I was just telling one of my coaching students this the other day, is that you have to stay in control, right? I mean, the person who writes the checks is the person that's in control. You know, I'm the boss. I write the checks. So you don't control the situation. I do. You don't control the budget. I do. I didn't know at the very beginning. They would say, they look at the job and I say, how much are you going to charge me? And of course, the next question would be, well, you know, we can work with you. How much do you have? Oh, I have $50,000. Okay, well, you know what? It's going to cost you $49,500.
Right.
Perfect
number.
Don't tell the contractors how much money you have. You tell them, give me an itemized bid. You tell me what it's going to cost, and I'll tell you if I'm okay with that. But don't show your whole hand to these guys, because many of them, not all, there are some good contractors, but many of them are predators. They call them contractors for a reason. Many of them are con artists. Many of them are convicts, you know, and you don't want to be a victim of these guys. So you really got to stay in control of the situation and hold all the cards. So you let them know, hey, you tell me what it's going to cost, give me an itemized bid, item by item, and then that way you get three different bids from three different contractors. Everybody give you an itemized bid, and you can sit down and compare apples with apples and make a decision.
And then from there, go with your gut on the best guy and then move forward.
Yeah, and it's not always the cheapest guy either. I mean, you know, sometimes you get what you pay for, so I don't want the cheapest guy. I don't want the most expensive guy. I'll take the middle guy. I want somebody who's going to do a good job but not going to charge me like I'm a retail homeowner.
Right, right. Yeah, that's ideal there, too. I agree with that 100%. Roosevelt, I appreciate your time on this and your insight on it. Where can we connect with you again?
Well, thank you, man. You can go to my blog, it's rooseveltgoodman.com, and connect with me there. NewMercyLLC.com is my website as well. And I guess you can always give me a call at 440-740-3200. That's my office number. And, connect with me that way.
Roosevelt, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to link to all that in the show notes, and we're going to be in touch real soon.
Hey, thanks, Mike. I appreciate what you do, man. Keep up the good work, brother.
Thanks, Rose. Appreciate it.
All right, my friend. Talk to you later.
So there you have it, everybody. The purpose of this was not to discourage you or scare you of things that can happen. I just want to be real and show you that things will happen when you invest. Now, if real estate investing was easy, everybody would do it. You know, that's the bottom line. So proceed with caution with your investments. Do your homework up front. Make sure what you're getting involved with, you're comfortable with, and it's a limited amount of risk if you think the risk is going to happen, so you're not going to get discouraged and quit. You know, real estate investing is great. It's been great to me, and the guys that I called in today, they make their full-time living investing in real estate as well. So go out there, find some deals, do your homework, and take action today. All right, everybody, thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalder.com or connect with me on Twitter at MichaelAlder34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody, thanks, and let's take action today.